Hey, folks, welcome back to the CBSSports.com College Football Podcast. It is time once again to gather the panel, the Weekend Picks panel, get together. Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hennin, myself, I serve as a moderator between these two CBSSports.com football experts as they battle it out, defending, explaining, giving a little bit of some background to the expert picks, which, of course, you can find on the site. And, gentlemen, we're going to begin once again with the segment we did last time. We've picked five games, which Tom and Jerry's picks differ on, and we will let them debate them in our opening segment, which we have called Five for Fighting. And all of our piano, rock, adult contemporary greatness, we have five games. And, guys, it was, you know, you only differed on five picks this week. Yeah.
Well, we agree on a lot. Me and Jerry, we're of one mind.
There's also a lot of games that I've tossed out because the entire SEC is decided it takes their annual vacation day before showdown next week.
They're all studying for midterms, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah, you talk to me about SEC football and academics. Sure. And let's go ahead and let's jump right in with the first of our Five for Fighting selections. I'm going to begin with you, Jerry. And we got Utah State traveling to face Louisiana Tech. The Bulldogs are kind of the BCS buster to watch now. Their only loss of the season was that shootout against Texas A&M. And the Bulldogs opened as a 3-point favorite. The line swung in favor of Utah State, who has been laying the wood recently. And Utah State is now a 3.5-point favorite. So, Jerry, how did you pick this game? And just give a little bit of background.
Okay, well, first of all, let me say that I need some good fortune this week. I got slaughtered in Five for Fighting last week, posted an 0-5 record. As much as it pains me to say, credit goes to some extent to Mr. Fornelli for his fine picks last week. But at the same time, you know, I was backing Penn State at +8, lost the cover when they turned the ball over in their own end with just more than a minute to go, and Nebraska kicked a field goal to change the lead from 6-9. Then I had Mississippi State +13.5, LSU with a 13-point lead at the end of the game, and Mississippi State throws a 100-yard pick six with under 60 seconds to go. So, I need some better luck. B, need to make some better picks this week. But I'm confident that one of them is going to be this Utah State team. They have been blowing people out left and right. The best team in the country against the spread so far this year, which is why we've seen that big swing in the spread that you mentioned, Chip, from the Aggies being 3-point underdogs to now 3-point favorites. It's because they have wasted teams like Texas State, UNLV, some of these other teams that Louisiana Tech's actually struggled with. You know, the Bulldogs haven't really looked quite like the same team since that huge shootout against Texas A&M. I think when that happened, everybody thought, okay, well, this is going to be a team that's just going to roll through the WAC, and it simply hasn't happened. Beat Texas State by 7 last week. That was a team that Utah State just the week before had crushed. Kind of struggled with UT San Antonio at home. That game didn't really get broken open until the start of the fourth quarter. Again, that's a team that Utah State just manhandled in San Antonio. So you look at those kind of head-to-head matchups like that with a common opponent, and it's an overwhelming edge for Utah State. I just think the Aggies are the better team. That defense is way better than Louisiana Tech's defense. You know, if this game was in Logan, it wouldn't even be close. I think Utah State's just a better team. The road doesn't seem to faze them. They've been consistent home and away. I like the Aggies.
Tom?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for the compliments of my picks last week, Jerry, and I'm sorry you were so terrible at it. This week, I don't agree with Jerry for Utah State because, you know, like you said, Utah State's been great against the spread this year, and that is why this line shifted so far, because all the sharps jumped on Utah State getting the 3 points. But that was when Utah State was getting 3 points. Now Utah State is giving up 3 points, and whether they've been playing well or not, it's still Utah State, which They had some success against Wisconsin earlier this year, but I'm sorry, beating the hell out of Texas State doesn't really do anything to impress me. So traveling across the country to Ruston to play Louisiana Tech, which is a team that hung with Texas A&M in Ruston, the same Texas A&M that just beat Alabama, I'm going to say if you want to give me 3.5 points with an offense that good, I don't care if Utah State's defense is playing well. I'm taking Louisiana Tech and the 3.5 points.
Well, Utah State's kind of experienced at this traveling across the country to face a favorite kind of thing. They did it to Wisconsin earlier this season, absolutely should have won that game in Madison, missed the late field goal. They did it last season with Auburn, traveled across the country, and again, absolutely should have taken down what was then the defending national champions. This is not an unusual experience for Utah State under Gary Anderson. They have an outstanding road record against the spread. Not, I think, quite as good as a favorite as an underdog, but still, this is, even if they're the favorites on the line, this is not a game where they're going to feel like the favorite. I think Louisiana Tech is the team that's ranked, the team that everybody says ought to be the BCS buster. Even if Vegas says that the Aggies are the favorites, nobody else does. By and large, this is going to feel like a game where Utah State's the underdog. They're on the road, and that's a situation where they have just been fantastic under Gary Anderson. So that's not a trend I'm going to go away from.
I know Utah State played Auburn well last year, but we all are very much aware of how Auburn really wasn't a great team last year, and they're definitely not this year. And then that Wisconsin game, Wisconsin had Danny O'Brien playing quarterback that day, so can we really take any of it seriously?
Maybe we can. All right, well, the champ is going to take Louisiana Tech with the points. Jerry, the challenger.
Know, actually, if you could just refer to me as the champ for the rest of the podcast, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Well, let's go into next to a team that is competing to be called the champ, at least a team in national title contention. Number 3, Notre Dame at home. They got 2 games left on that Notre Dame schedule, which will continue to be the topic of conversation if they continue to win, as they try and hang there with Kansas State and Oregon as the unbeatens remaining. Notre Dame is a 24.5-point favorite at home against Wake Forest. And so, starting with you, Tom, what was your read and what was your pick on this game?
You know, this is a rare occurrence this year because Notre Dame's actually playing a team with a worse offense this week than the one it has. This Wake Forest is, I think they're about 108th or 109th in the country scoring-wise, and they're going against the number one scoring defense in the country in Notre Dame. But as we have seen all too often all season and in the last few weeks, Notre Dame plays down to its opponents, particularly at home. The triple overtime game against Pitt, the close game against BYU, et cetera, Purdue. Everybody that's come to South Bend has had a chance to win. I do not think Wake Forest will have a chance to win because that offense is not going to do anything. But the Notre Dame offense isn't going to be able to put up 24 points itself. So when you're giving me over 3 touchdowns spread against a Notre Dame offense that can only manage 21 points against Boston College, I'm going to take Wake Forest in the 24.5 points.
Jerry?
Yeah, well, this is a replay from last week. Tom and I had the exact same argument about, okay, well, we know Notre Dame is going to hold the opponent to a very small number. The question is whether their terrible offense will score enough to cover the large spread. Again, it really felt like it should have happened last week. The Irish were up 21-6 and had plenty of time to score the icing covering touchdown. Didn't quite make it. But seriously, this week it's going to be different. Wake is not going to score. Like, this is a shutout, 3 points. You know, Boston College granted 6. I'll be surprised if Wake even gets that far. Certainly not more, I don't think. And I don't think Notre Dame's going to keep their offense quite as under wraps at home. Now, again, this flies in the face of the prevailing trends, which is that you don't take Notre Dame when they're favored at home. It's been a losing scenario for a long time. It has been all season. At the same time, this Wake offense is just so miserable. You know, all Notre Dame needs to cover the spread is, you know, 4 touchdowns, 28 points. I think they can manage that at home against a Wake defense that's been entirely shreddable on the road, gave up, you know, tons of points to Florida State. North Carolina State beat them 37-6 last week. Even this Notre Dame offense, I think, can get more done than we saw them last week.
Jerry, listen to yourself. You are in an abusive relationship with Notre Dame. They'll change this week. I swear. It's going to be different this week. It's going to change. I could change. No, Jerry, they're not. Notre Dame can score 28 points against Wake Forest. You're 100% right. But Wake Forest is going to score 10 points, and that's not going to cover the spread for the Irish.
No, Wake's not going to score 10. But, well, look, we can probably agree on this. Like, I think the over-under last time I checked was 44 points. Like, that's probably, if you really want to bet on the
that is an under to Notre
Dame game. Yes, I would look at the under 44. But I think Notre Dame's offense isn't quite so incompetent that they can hold an opponent under 7 points and not cover 2 weeks in a row. Like, it's happened once. It's not going to happen twice.
I'd love to find a couple unders to pound. All right, moving on to some other SEC action. We've got LSU at home. They are favored by 19.5 with Ole Miss coming to town. Ole Miss needs can they get bowl eligible with a win over Mississippi State, Jerry, or do they need this game too?
Ole Miss needs a win somewhere. They play LSU this week. They play Mississippi State next week. They are not bowl eligible now, so they're not going to have any problems being motivated for this game. First of all, it's LSU. It's kind of a traditional rivalry, not one that's, you know, played a major role in the SEC the last multiple decades, but still, traditional rivalry. It matters a lot to the fans, especially at Ole Miss. And I think, you know, Ole Miss is better than what they showed against Georgia last week. That was a game where I really felt confident in Ole Miss getting the cover. Started out with a 10-0 lead, and then just everything kind of fell apart. Not last week, 2 weeks ago, excuse me. Again, same thing with Vanderbilt. They really should have been able to cover that 3 points. We're ahead, I think, by 17 points at one point, and just kind of fell apart, gave up the winning touchdown with under 30 seconds to play. You know, Ole Miss is, I think, a better team than those results showed. And I think, you know, again, I said this the last couple of weeks, but I think this is, again, the week where they finally finish the game a little bit. Doesn't mean they're going to beat LSU, but I do think they can stay within this number. LSU, you know, isn't really all that great at home against the spread. You know, as we saw again against Mississippi State last week, really should not have covered that number. Just got the lucky play at the end. So, you know, even though I've been burned before, sticking with the Rebels.
Tom?
Still in that abusive relationship. See, I actually agree with Jerry with a lot of what he's saying. It's just the last few weeks I've believed in Ole Miss, and Ole Miss has burned me in the last 2 weeks. So this week, even though I really don't have a ton of faith in the LSU offense, I think at home, 19.5 is a bit, yes, but I'm still going to go with the Tigers. I think they're just going to have a nice performance. And Ole Miss, I'm just really more tired of you burning me than anything else at this point. So I'm switching it up.
Yeah, well, you know, as you pointed out, LSU's offense has looked better, no question, the last couple of weeks. But, you know, I wonder how long that can keep up. I'm not completely sold that Mettenberger suddenly played Alabama and just became a completely different quarterback, which is what he looked like against the Tide. And then to some extent looks like against Mississippi State, too. I think he's going to be due for another one of these, you know, 11 of 26, 6 yards an attempt, one touchdown, two interception kind of games. It's going to happen eventually. It won't surprise me if it happens this week.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Mettenberger is going to be great, and he will have a regression at some point. It's just I don't think this Ole Miss defense is the one to cause it. I think maybe Arkansas would be that.
The Trojans are heading to the Rose Bowl to face their crosstown rivals of UCLA. This USC-UCLA battle has not had this kind of relevance in a little while. The Trojans beat down UCLA last year 50-0. Jim Mora, of course, coming in. And this is a game that I think the Bruins not only want to win because the Pac-12 South is on the line, but also to get a little bit of revenge for last year. The Trojans are a 4.5-point favorite the way we picked it. So let's start with you, Mr. Fernelli. What was your pick, and why did you decide on that?
You know, this has been a quote-unquote rivalry that has been definitely dominated by USC, and not just, and when I, you know, dominated as of late. But I'm taking UCLA just because there's a couple factors, really. I don't know if UCLA is going to win outright, but I'm going to take them in the 4.5 points because To me, they've been playing better than USC lately. I'm impressed with the offense. The defense still has its problems, yes, but the USC defense really hasn't shown me that it can stop an offense like UCLA's as much lately either. And there's also the fact that every time USC has left the Coliseum this year to play a game, they have not covered the spread. They're 0-4 just on the road, and they're 0-1 at neutral sites when they had to travel to New Jersey to play Syracuse. So, I mean, I don't think that's a trend that you can ignore. So I'm taking the Bruins.
Jerry?
First of all, yes, that about their troubles away from the Coliseum would be more relevant if this game wasn't at the Rose Bowl, which happens to be right down the road. It's a cross-town rivalry for a reason. And it's not like UCLA has ever been able to enjoy some huge home field advantage there. You know, this is a rivalry that, as you point out, has been dominated by USC in recent times. I think this game matters to Lane Kiffin in a way that some of the other ones on the schedule don't always. And I'm not even sure that USC is playing any worse than UCLA right now. Losing to 11 points to Oregon isn't really that much to be ashamed of. They whipped Arizona State last week, which was a team that UCLA actually had a lot of trouble with. So, you know, I'm not sure that one team is really playing all that much better than the other. I just think at this point, top to bottom, USC is still the more talented team. I think this is a game that they're going to be ready for. You know, it's obviously been a disappointing season for the Trojans. This is a game that I think Lane Kiffin really knows he can't lose. Like, he cannot let the Bruins sort of turn over this rivalry after what's gone on earlier in this season. I think the Trojans are ready. I think they win this game by double digits.
See, I don't necessarily think USC is going to lose the game, and I understand what you mean by when they say that they're leaving, you know, they're moving down the street to play at the Rose Bowl, but it's still a road game. They're not allowed to spike the middle of the field anymore. That's huge. No one can help them. But it's like we've talked about in recent weeks, Monty Kiffin and that defense have had trouble stopping offenses like UCLA's, and UCLA's offense is playing really well right now. They're scoring 51 points a game in the last three games. They are playing outstanding on offense. I don't know if UCLA has enough on defense to win it, but I think they have enough on offense to cover that spread at home. And this is a game that's just as huge to UCLA as it is to Lane Kiffin and USC, because I can guarantee you, even though Jim Mora just got through this year, the players on that team are tired of losing to USC.
Yeah, I just don't think it matters. They were tired of losing to USC last year, too, I think.
Oh.
But they had Rick Neuheisel as a coach.
It's a year. Like, I don't think 1 year is enough to undo. Let's see, we need 45, 46 points worth of difference from last year to cover the spread. I don't think there's 46 points worth of difference.
See, I think Brett Hundley makes a huge difference.
See, have you guys seen any of Rick Neuheisel's commentary? When he gets to talking about the Bruins, and I'm sure that as he spends, you know, even more time, he's got the personality where I know he's going to be good on television. But, man, he is not afraid to talk about how he recruited a lot of those guys whenever UCLA is doing well.
No, and he shouldn't be. But he should also mention I was dumb enough to redshirt Hundley last year, too, with my job on the line.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll Pistol Rick has got enough. He might have too much pride to come out and say that. Don't know though. All right, last one in Five for Fighting. Remember, Tom is up 5-0 since we started this, getting the clean sweep last week, and so now this is this could be a break one right here. Kent State at Bowling Green. Kent State leading the division, nationally ranked, but Bowling Green favored by 3.5. Starting with you, Jerry, what was your pick on this game?
Kent State all the way. I was surprised to see them. You know, I get that it's a rivalry. Like, these teams are not far away from each other. This is an intra-Ohio rivalry, been around a long time. So I get that, you know, it's to some extent a throw-out-the-records game, and Bowling Green's at home. But Kent State has just been the better team this year. Bowling Green's been very good, don't get me wrong. I think they're 7-3 under Dave Clawson and had a solid season. But Kent State, with the exception of that one completely baffling blowout loss to Kentucky, which, like, in retrospect stands out as maybe the most inexplicable result of the whole season, Kent State's just been the better team. They've done things like go on the road and beat Ball State. They've been very good in MAC play, both against the spread and straight up, you know, just top to bottom with guys like Dree Archer, Roosevelt Nix. You know, they have the kind of top-end players that I don't think Bowling Green necessarily has. And I think, you know, this spread is a little bit of a product of Bowling Green's upset of Ohio last week. But, you know, Ohio just isn't that good. Like, they've been doing that for weeks. Like, that result really wasn't all that surprising. So, you know, to me, Kent State's just the better team here. I think they get it done.
Yikes. Tom, what was your Ohio not that good. Yikes. What was your read on this one, Tom?
Frank Solich would like to talk to you, sir. I took Bowling Green. I did. I've been, you know, like, I agree. Kent State's loss to Kentucky is like a head scratcher up there with Northern Illinois' loss to Iowa to start the season, where the only reason you could think that it even happened was because it was just September and the teams really weren't, you know, teams weren't really in their rhythm yet. But I think that this week, Bowling Green, who's been playing very well as of late, just like Kent State, being at home, is going to pull off the win. And I think there's a reason they're a favorite. I think Vegas knows there's a reason they're a favorite, too. And that's, you know, they're favorites for a reason. And also, how many times can I say they're favorites for a reason in one sentence? I think I just set a record. Anyways, Bowling Green is also 5-1 as a favorite this year and 3-1 at home against the spread. So I see those kind of trends. I take my MAC, you know, and you know in the MAC there's got to be chaos at some point because the MAC cannot have this many one-loss teams. It's just, it goes against everything that is MAC-sual. So I'm taking Bowling Green to put an end to Kent State's one-loss season this week.
No.
Yes.
And Jerry's rebuttal is a resounding no.
I look forward to being 10-0 at this time next week, Chip.
That's just not going to happen.
Well, all right, well, here, Jerry, we'll let you lead off with the lightning round and see if you can get some of these picks out and if the Pfeiffer fighting doesn't go as well for you this week, perhaps you can at least have these to claim. Tell me a little bit about Rutgers at Cincinnati. The Bearcats are a 6.5-point favorite.
This is another line that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Very similar to the last one, which is kind of funny because Kent State and Rutgers obviously played each other. Rutgers, to me, has just been the better team this season. You know, got the win at Arkansas, got the win at USF, been very good as a road underdog so far this season. Gary Nova has been, you know, even given his occasional interception struggles, has been steadier quarterback than whatever Cincinnati is going to get from, you know, the new guy who's replacing Munchie Legault.
Brendan Kay.
Thank you. And I knew my Big East man would have it for me there. You know, Cincinnati has been very good at home, blew out Pitt earlier in the season, had a comfortable win against Syracuse a couple of weeks ago. I just think this Rutgers team is on another level. I think Rutgers has just been the best team in the Big East, aside from maybe Louisville all season. And, you know, them catching 6.5 points with them, this is a game that I expected to be, if Cincinnati was a favorite, you know, it would be a 2-2.5 point favorite, not 6.5. I feel very comfortable taking the Scarlet Knights with the points.
I do. It is worth mentioning Juwan Jameson, the leading rusher for the Scarlet Knights, is a little banged up, which I think is one of the reasons that the Bearcats are getting 6.5. But I do agree with you. The Scarlet Knights, particularly on defense, I see they are too disciplined and too experienced to be able to give up what Cincinnati does very well, which is home run plays. They got a lot of speed with guys like George Wynn and Ralph David Abernathy IV. And I just don't think that they will be seeing those kinds of opportunities against Rutgers. All right, Tom, tell me, what was your pick for Florida State and Maryland? Maryland, wearing their Black Ops uniforms, will be trying to cover 31.5 against the Seminoles.
Well, at least Maryland will look cool. But with all the injuries that team has had in offense, it's like you see a 31.5-point spread for a home team, and it's like, how can you pass that up? But you can pass it up when Maryland is literally letting the drum major play quarterback at this point. So I just see Florida State having an easy time in this game, rolling and, you know, trying to maybe impress some pollsters in the BCS as they look to climb up a little higher. So I think the Seminoles are just going to rout Maryland this weekend.
Yeah, I don't see them showing any mercy either. All right, Jerry, we got NC State traveling to Death Valley. The Tigers are 17.5-point favorites. And Clemson also lost in Raleigh last year. This was one of those games in Clemson's late-season collapse after starting 8-0. How do you see Clemson doing against the Wolfpack with 17.5 as the spread?
This is a tough, tough game to call. NC State's been very good, particularly late in the year under Tom O'Brien as an underdog. You know, we saw it against Florida State a couple of weeks ago, and that was at home. But still, like, as a rule, if it's late in the year and the Wolfpack are an underdog, that's the side you want to be on. At the same time, Clemson is perfect against the spread so far this season in ACC play. I've been very strong ATS, period. You know, so it's kind of one of these strength versus strength matchups where the number is concerned. In the end, I think, you know, 17.5 points is a big, big spread for a team in NC State. It's, you know, got a defense that's probably at least as good as the Tigers and an offense that, you know, when it gets rolling a little bit with Glennon and those running backs, can put some points on the board, I think, even in Death Valley. I think, you know, Clemson's reputation for covering so far this year maybe has just caught up with them enough this week. I like NC State with the points.
Minnesota traveling to Lincoln to face Nebraska. The Cornhuskers really just they can't trip over their own 2 feet. They gotta get out there, and if they take care of business, they should be heading to Indianapolis thanks to that tiebreaker over Michigan. But you know, you never know what'll happen to that Michigan-Ohio State game. Can't afford anything. Tom, what's your read on 18.5 with Minnesota coming to town?
You know, Minnesota is a team that's actually been playing better every week since Philip Delson took over as quarterback. And they even won, you know, on the road against Illinois last week, winning 17-3. But Illinois is absolutely terrible. And going to Nebraska in Lincoln in Memorial Stadium and playing the Huskers is a different formula altogether. I don't see Nebraska having the kind of close call that they had on the road against Michigan State or at home against a good Penn State team last week, because I just don't think Minnesota, while it's improving, is on that level yet. So this is a game to me where Nebraska is going to win pretty easily. Taylor Martinez will have a big day against the Minnesota secondary that's been good, but it's not great. And also, the Minnesota run defense isn't very much to brag about. I think Nebraska with Amir Abdullah, even without Rex Burkhead this week, but Abdullah and Cross can definitely take advantage of that, as can Martinez.
I'm very excited to pitch this next one to Jerry, because I think that it is, in my opinion, a good example of one of his favorite analogies, where we're going to have two different teams moving on the escalators in different directions. We got Oklahoma State at home, favored by 10.5 against Texas Tech, who's been on a little bit of a, you know, it's trending downwards, in my opinion. Do you agree with that, Jerry? And also, what was your pick for the Cowboys minus 10.5?
I took Texas Tech with the points in this one. I think Oklahoma State really ought to get the win. They're at home. But this, you know, I like Tommy Tuberville so much more as an underdog in these sorts of games than as a favorite. You know, admittedly, the Red Raiders have not looked good lately. You know, losing to Texas at home, barely squeaking by Kansas at home last week, which is even worse. You know, to go into the overtime with the Jayhawks is not a good look. As the kids say. But I think that means that they're going to be ready for this Oklahoma State game. The Pokes are having a very good season themselves. I think kind of quietly, you know, beat TCU at home. I think people wrote them off a little bit after the Texas loss. But, you know, this is still, you know, the Cowboys don't yet have that kind of defense where you can say, okay, if Seth Dagey is on his game, the Red Raiders are going to put up some points. I definitely see Texas Tech's defense maybe showing up this week after a couple of weeks off. I think you know, this is just one of those situations where one team's maybe in the Cowboys been playing a little bit better than their true level, and Texas Tech's been playing under it a little bit. I think they meet in the middle, and I think the Red Raiders, again, don't come away with the straight-up win, but I do think they stay within this number.
Ohio State traveling to Wisconsin. The Badgers are favored by 3.5 in Camp Randall. And Tom, as you pointed out on College Football 360 this week, this might be the beginning of a very enjoyable rivalry between a pair of Big Ten division rivals.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, while they try to deflect, I think it was pretty obvious over the summer that Brett Bielema and Urban Meyer really aren't the closest of friends. And I just see, looking at the actual game, I'm not surprised that Ohio State is considered the underdog, but I'm happy that they're the underdog because it makes it so much easier to pick them in this game, because Ohio State is a better team than Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin destroyed Indiana last week, yes, but it's also starting Kurt Phillips at quarterback, who really did not have to do much else other than turn around and hand the ball off to James White and Monty Ball last week. It's not going to be the case against this Ohio State team. I think Ohio State's going to win outright, and I think they'll win outright pretty convincingly. So when I see that and I'm getting 3.5 points, I'm going with the Buckeyes.
Yikes. Making me second guess my own picks. All right. Let's hope that you're wrong on that one for my sake. I am struggling, by the way, for the listeners. It is, I don't know whether there was, Army. I was the only one to pick Army, and they blew their cover. I learned about bad beats because Jerry explained the definition to me before the podcast, and because I've gotten to experience a lot of them. All right, let's keep it moving, though. Oklahoma traveling to Morgantown to face West Virginia. The Mountaineers are 10.5-point home underdogs. Jerry, do you think that they can score enough points to give the Sooners a chance? I mean, to give themselves a chance to cover the spread against the Sooners?
No, I don't. I think the wheels have just kind of come off for West Virginia. Again, we saw it last week with Oklahoma State, where they went to Stillwater and lost by 20. Home field has not really helped them a whole lot. You look at their home record, beat Baylor by 7, not particularly impressive. Get wailed on by Kansas State, obviously not impressive. They didn't cover against Maryland early in the season. They're just not playing particularly well at home right now. And Oklahoma, on the flip side, has been a very good road team. You may remember them, whipping Texas Tech. Whipping Texas Tech earlier in the season when the Red Raiders were flying high, convincingly beat Iowa State a couple weeks back. Oklahoma's a very good road team. West Virginia's not showing me enough at home. I think, the 10.5 points is a little bit scary. Anytime you've got an offense like West Virginia, which still, Geno Smith, Stedman Bailey, Tevon Austin, these are the kinds of pieces that Dana Holgorsen can use to maybe put up, 40 or 50 at any given week. But I don't think it happens this week. I think they score in the 20s. I think with their defense, they give up 40 to the Sooners. I like Oklahoma.
Kansas State, as they continue to take their undefeated campaign, this time to Baylor, another defense-optional team. The Wildcats are favored by 11.5. So, Tom, do you see Baylor being able to – I mean, I'm guessing that you have Kansas State to win – and so the question is, do you think that Baylor can find enough points, or do you think Kansas State plays a slowdown game and for some reason does not cover 11.5?
This spread actually worries me a bit, because last week Baylor did play Oklahoma well enough to cover the spread. An 11.5-point spread for a team like Baylor at home, you can easily see Baylor covering it, but I think Kansas State's defense is good enough to slow them down. And when it comes down to it, all you have to really tell me is Kansas State is on the road. I don't care when they're playing or who they're playing. I'm going to take Kansas State against the spread when they're on the road.
That's a good reason. The primetime showdown, arguably one of our probably the most relevant game as far as national title, Pac-12 title, Stanford and Oregon. This is the Pac-12 North will be on the line as far as the Cardinal trying to climb into that race. They are 21.5-point underdogs. And so, Jerry, I'll get both of your picks on this one just sort of for your explanations. Jerry, you first, what was your pick and what was your reasoning?
I took Stanford, Chip. And this is why I think, even though Oregon has been fantastic at home this year and basically fantastic against the Pac-12 period this year, just cover after cover, we saw again against Cal last week, where Cal's been a team that's sort of given the Ducks some problems in the past and did not really give them any problems last week. So it's very difficult to pick against Marcus Mariota, just the way they're playing right now. But Stanford is also a team that's given the Ducks fits in the past, really kind of pounded on them with their ground game. And I was really impressed with Kevin Hogan last week. That Oregon State defense is a tough one. I honestly expected the Beavers to go into Palo Alto and pull that one out. But the Cardinal got it done at home. I can see this Stanford team controlling the clock against Oregon in a way that basically no one else has been able to do. Stephen Taylor's obviously having a fantastic season. I think Kevin Hogan, can make the throws even on the road, to keep the chains moving, keep the clock burning. And, you know, I just feel like eventually Oregon's going to have that one game where they're challenged, that one game where they don't just coast to victory. And I think it happens this week. I think they're due for that. It's not an easy pick by any stretch of the imagination, even at 21 points. You can very easily see the dust cover. But I just think this is the sort of the last stand, if you will, for the Pac-12 against Oregon. And I think it stays in that 2-3 score range.
Tom?
You know, I actually took Oregon, and I have no qualms about it. I'm not even worried in the slightest. The last five meetings between these teams, Oregon has scored 53 points, 52 points, 42 points. The low point was 35, and then 55 points in 2007. Stanford defense has been good the last few years under Jim Harbaugh, just like it is this year under Shaw. That hasn't stopped Oregon from putting up a ton of points. So I look at Kevin Hogan, who's starting this week for the Cardinal, and I feel like if Oregon can cover, three of their last four victories against Stanford in the last 5 years have been by more than 21.5 points. And those were with Andrew Luck at quarterback. So I feel like if Oregon can do that against Stanford when Luck was there, they could do so against Hogan, who has been impressive, but there's quite a bit of difference between playing well against Colorado at home and playing well against Oregon State at home than there is going to Eugene and playing in Autzen Stadium, knowing that you can't afford to mess up, because every time you give Oregon the ball, they are going to score. The Stanford defense is not going to be able to stop Oregon's defense enough, because Stanford's defense hasn't been able to stop Oregon enough over the years. So I see Oregon winning this game in a rout. I think the 21.5 point spread is deserved. And I agree with Sherry that Oregon will get a test at some point. I see it being next week against Oregon State.
I that was my clerical error, folks. We could have had that as a much more interesting pie for fighting game. But we can maybe call that a bonus pick that we'll discuss next week on the weekend picks panel.
You can't stop me and Jerry from just getting into random fights. It just happens.
That's right. It's possible that I pick Oregon in the picks this week. Like I said, I was really torn on that one. I've come around to Stanford, though. Let's put it that way.
Trust your instinct, Jerry. Believe in yourself.
All right, one last one quickly. Oregon State and Cal. It is rumored to it could possibly be Jeff Tedford's last game with the Golden Bears. Real quick, let's go, Tom. What was your pick?
I took Oregon State. It's just Cal has not been good this year. And like you said, Tedford's pretty much a lame duck coach. Kind of hard to get up for a road trip up to Corvallis when you feel like there's really not much point left to your season, and there really isn't much point left to Cal season. Tedford's going to be gone. There's no bowl game to play for. And Oregon State, is feeling a little salty after losing last week and definitely wants to, rebound and get that taste out of their mouth. So I think this is a game where the Beavers are going to win. And looking at the extra picks, we all think the Beavers are going to win, so I'm pretty confident in that pick.
And Jerry, do you agree on that one, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Excellent.
There's not much about Cal the Lake right now.
No, not so much. Well, my thanks to Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hennen. Follow them on Twitter at Tom Fornelli, at Jerry Hennen. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on a future Weekend Picks panel, you can email it to podcast@cbsinteractive.com or hit me up on Twitter at CNPatterson3. Be sure to come on back tomorrow. We've got Dennis Dodd checking in for a special Doddcast to talk about the 4-team playoff. And my thanks again to both the gentlemen. Best of luck. We hope that our advice will help you in your selections, however you choose to make them. And enjoy the weekend's games. Thanks so much for listening.